We have again this morning both an Old Testament and New Testament reading. The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 60, where we will be reading through the first part of verse 5. And then the New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Isaiah 60, beginning with verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. And then from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There's something about a picture that communicates to us in ways that words alone often can't. It's said that a picture is worth a thousand words. And the reason that a picture is worth a thousand words is because we can translate pictures into information. But actually, a picture is worth more than any number of words. Because the kind of information that we translate and draw from pictures is not just raw data. It's not just sterile information. Because pictures convey messages that are difficult to put into words. Everything from impressions to full-blown emotions can be conveyed in a picture. And when you see it, you don't only get some information from that picture, you can actually feel or sense what that picture represents. the kind of situation that it's talking about, because we have some points of common experience. So we know a little bit about what is in the picture, and we can translate it, not just into words, but into feelings. Pictures can make us shudder, or pictures can make us long to be where the picture is. The other night I was watching a documentary on Alaska, and with every picture, I wanted to go there more and more. The pictures captured the beauty of it and the immensity of it. And it made me want to go there in a way that just having someone tell me about it couldn't. Pictures can make us long to go where the picture was taken. But pictures can also remind us of places we have been. That's what we do when we go places, right? We take pictures there. And then later on, we look back at those pictures, and when we look at them, they remind us of things. Not only that we were there, but they remind us of what we experienced when we were there and how we felt when we were there. When I was 14, our family went on vacation out west. And one day we were at a mountain lake out in the Rockies somewhere. And that mountain lake had a little stream that flowed out of it down the mountain. And that stream had a bridge across it. And on that bridge there was a plank sticking out from the side over the water. I don't know why. But it was a nice little seat. So I climbed out on it and I sat there and just watched the water run underneath me. And without my knowing it, my mother took a picture of me there. And then later on, when we got back home, she gave me that picture for me to look at whenever I was upset or concerned or worried about one thing or another, so that I would remember the way I felt when I was there, so that I could take that feeling with me by looking back at that picture. Pictures communicate things to us in ways that words alone can't. And that's the way I really feel about this text, and about the whole topic of joy. I mean, what can you say in words about joy, except that joy is the state of being really joyful? And that doesn't make for a very good sermon. How do you communicate joy in words? I don't think you can, because joy is so much more than what words can say. Joy is something you have to see, to feel it, because joy is a feeling. Joy is a feeling. So I'd like to look at our text this morning as a series of pictures that we see, so that we might be able to truly get an idea of what it is. And so that the full meaning of this joy can either be something that as we look at the picture we will remember because we were once there, or the picture of joy will be something that will make us long to go there because we haven't been before. The first picture in the series of pictures in this text from Luke chapter 2 is an easy one, and we're going to start easy because we want to get the feel of how this goes. The shepherds are out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night. It's not a hard thing to picture in your head, is it? And by the way, feel free to close your eyes. I won't think that you're sleeping. The shepherds are out in the field keeping watch over their flocks at night. It's a picture that we can relate to. We know what it is like to be outside at night. It's probably a little bit cold. They might even be able to see their breath. And they pull their coat just a little bit tighter to kind of keep the chill out. And even if we have not watched over sheep at night, we know what it's like to watch over something, and we've seen sheep before, and we can see them out there, these shepherds with their sheep. It's a picture that's not hard to imagine. It's not even hard to feel if you look at it closely enough. Second picture. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. A reaction, like a picture, communicates in ways that words cannot. To say that the shepherds were terrified doesn't really communicate terror, does it? But to look at their faces, we know terror. It's something that we have experienced in one way or another. So we know what their faces look like. And we know the position of their bodies. Not only that, we know the pit in their stomach, and we can feel their heart racing. We've been terrified before. We can see them. And we can feel them. Because we know terror. But we know more about the reaction of the shepherds than just what terror is like, because we know what they were terrified of. You see, if the picture in our minds was of the shepherds with that look upon their face and that position of their bodies, because they were looking at a palm tree, it wouldn't make any sense to us. We'd wonder what on earth they were doing. But when we know that what they were terrified of was the glory of the Lord shining all around them, then we know a little bit better what they were feeling that night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. An angel of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. We understand that kind of terror. I'm sure you do if you stop to think about it a little while. All through the scriptures, there is a common reaction every time the Lord walks into the room. Every time he walks into the room and says, "Hello, I'm here," he gets the same reaction. Terror. fear. And it doesn't matter who it is that he's revealing himself to, who it is he's walking in on. He appeared to Moses out of the burning bush, and Moses hid his face in fear. He appeared to Gideon, and Gideon was terrified. He appeared to the people of Israel on Mount Sinai in the thunder and lightning, and they trembled in fear. Samson's parents, Manoah and his wife, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were convinced they were doomed to die. And it continues over and over again through the scriptures, all the way through to the book of Revelation, where the Apostle John himself, when the Lord appears to him in his glory, the Apostle John, who walked with him on this earth, the Apostle that the Lord loved, he falls down before him as though he were dead. Terror in the presence of God is common to us. And the reason, of course, is that when he appears in his glory and holiness expose all that we would rather keep hidden. As sinful people who feel the most comfortable hiding in the dark, hiding from God, we are very uncomfortable with the light of his glory shining on us. It wasn't always that way. In the beginning, Adam and Eve walked with God. They enjoyed his presence. That's where they had the most joy, was in his presence. His holiness wasn't threatening to them, it was comforting to them because they were pure and they could enjoy it. But that all changed the day that they decided to strike out on their own for something that looked even better to them at the time. But when they turned away from that relationship into sin, God's presence didn't bring them joy anymore. It brought them fear. And we find that right there in the story. Immediately after they turned and fell into sin, we read in Genesis chapter 3, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Can you see that picture? You've hidden from somebody before. Have you ever hidden from somebody that you feared? Standing in the trees, hoping that he wouldn't find you. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" See, Adam and Eve had been naked all along. But before they fell into sin, there was nothing to hide. Now, however, there's everything to hide. And so even the thought of being in the presence of the Lord with so much to hide causes them to hide from him in fear.
fear of being in His presence. So when we are suddenly thrust into the presence of God, even imagining being suddenly thrust into the presence of God, and having, like the shepherds, having Him walk in when you're just doing something in your normal day, and having the glory of the Lord shining all around you. Is terrifying. Because before the Lord, we know that we're all naked. It doesn't matter what we're wearing. He can see right through us. And with so much to hide, we don't want Him to look. We don't want to be in His presence. That's what happened to the shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. There were no shadows to hide in. All of a sudden, no word of warning. Boom! There He was. So we're terrified of being in the presence of God, but that presents quite a problem for us. And that problem is found in Psalm 16, verse 11. It's quite a problem. There David says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forever." In God's presence is where fullness of joy is. In His presence, there are pleasures forever. But that's a big problem if we can't be in His presence without being terrified of Him. But it's there in the story that there's a surprise, not a surprise to us anymore because we've read this 100 times. But certainly a surprise to the shepherds who were terrified. Can you still see their faces? Because the angel of the Lord says, "Do not be afraid. Do not. For I bring you good news of great joy that are going to be for all the people. Don't be afraid." Angels had to get used to that after a while, didn't they? No, don't be afraid. They can read expressions too. Don't be afraid. For I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. For to you is born this day, just over there in Bethlehem, a Savior is born to you, and He is Christ. He's the Anointed One. He's the Messiah. He is the Lord. That's my news. He says, "I've come to bring good news." That word that's translated good news is the word gospel. The angel says, as he comes in all the glory of God, "Don't be afraid, because I'm bringing you the gospel of great joy." The gospel of great joy, which is that this very night a Savior has been born for you. He's Christ the Lord. God has walked into your world, into your room. He's walked into your world. He's walked in. He's there. He's right over there. But He hasn't come in all of His glory and splendor so that you would cringe in His presence. He's come by taking on your flesh. To share in your suffering. To walk in your dark world and to be the light to lead you out of it. He's come to save you. so that true joy can once again be yours, so that once again you, shepherds, can enter into the presence of God where there is fullness of joy. That's why it's the gospel of great joy. And this will be a sign to you that what I am saying is true. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now Bethlehem was a happening place that night. There were lots of people there. There may have been even other babies born there that night. But certainly there were other babies in Bethlehem that night. But this is going to be a sign to you that what I'm saying is true. You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's the sign that that one is your Savior. And suddenly, sharing in the joy that the Lord had come to bring, this great multitude of heavenly hosts joins in the angel and praises God and says, "Glory to God in the highest." In other words, let God's glory shine brighter than it ever has, and let there be peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. Let everything be like it should. Let's not have it anymore where God has to restrain his glory and where people have to hide in fear of his presence. May God be glorified above all things, and may men and women have peace. May everything be the way it should be. And they're gone. Now think with me for a minute. Imagine the scene again. Let's get back to the picture. Look at the shepherds' faces. First, see them in their terror and feel the terror. But then as this gospel of great joy is given to them, as they hear the news, just watch their faces change. They're going from terror to curiosity, from fear to wonder. To excitement. Putting the pieces together in their head. Hearing the words echo again. What did he say? And they go from wanting to hide from the glory of the Lord to wanting to go find him. All because of the good news they had been given. And so they hurry off to Bethlehem to look for that sign that the angel had told them about. And as they enter the stable, this place out in the back somewhere, wondering if all of this could really be true, they turn the corner. Now you got to see it. They turn the corner and they enter the stable. And they've got to be thinking, what did he, a baby in a main, well, wait a minute. Is this actually, and they turn, and there he is. There's a baby in the manger here, and there's a woman, his mother and father there. And they just stop at the door. Have you ever had a shiver go up your spine before? Do you know what it looks like when someone experiences that? The words that the angel told me, here they are. There he is. A Savior born for me. Then what do they feel like? How far have they come from the terror they were feeling in the glory of the Lord? How could they contain their joy? They could not. We're told in verse 20 that they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Finding joy in this world is no easy task. Finding joy as a sinful human being is harder still. Finding joy apart from God, you just can't do it. Because fullness of joy exists in His presence. But finding joy through the gospel of great joy works every time. Because it leads you into His presence to experience Him first as a humble Savior child. He walked into your world as humbly as you did. Look at the shepherds again, standing just inside the stable, hardly able to believe what they're seeing, just beginning to put the pieces together in their minds, trying to figure out how this is just all some kind of mistake. It's a coincidence or something. And yet knowing that it can't be. Can you imagine the feeling of experiencing that? Thinking that there must be some mistake, but finding that there actually is a Savior born for you. Some of you can, because it's a picture of you finding Him. The picture that you have in the living room of your mind that reminds you of the moment that you really met Him. That reminds you of the joy that you had in His presence and the joy that you're going to have forever in His presence. For some of you, though, it isn't a picture of a place that you've been, but the picture of a place that you long to be someday. And you wonder if it could ever be that a person like you would be able to go there. You can. You can go there. You can find Him. It doesn't cost you anything. He's walked into the room of this world, and He wants to walk into the room of your life, of your heart. Not in overpowering glory and brilliance, not to frighten you, but as a humble Savior. And the reason that He wants to do that, the reason that He wants to walk into your heart, is because He can read expressions too. He can read the expression on the face of your heart. And it communicates to Him in ways that words cannot. He knows your pain and your emptiness and your suffering. He knows your fear to be with him. And he wants you to experience the joy of being with him and being not afraid. You know, the shepherds could have stayed out on the hill that night. The shepherds could have stayed out in the darkness. They could have, you know, as soon as the angels left, they could have gone, boy, that was weird. I haven't had that happen before, have you? Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the sheep. They could have stayed there. But there was something about the gospel of great joy, having known the terror of being in the glory of the Lord, and yet having heard the message that what God wanted to bring them was not terror but joy, that made them have to go to see for themselves if it was true. It was a joy that they wanted for themselves. Would it make any more sense for you to hear the news and not want to go see him? After all, the angels who spoke to the shepherds said that this gospel of great joy would be for all the people, and that includes you. I don't know if I'll ever get to Alaska, but you can meet the Savior of the world. You can walk right in to where he is, into that scene, right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for not coming and overpowering us, for not exposing our shame to the world, but for coming as our humble Savior, born in Bethlehem. We thank you, Lord, for making a way for us back to the Father, that in you there is fullness of joy. Lord, for those of us who have met you and who can see ourselves in that picture, Lord, we ask that that memory would be with us forever, and that nothing else in this life will be able to stand in the way of us and the joy that we first met when we first met you. And for those, Lord, who are locked yet in fear, I pray that your Spirit would break through their fear, that the gospel of great joy would bring them to you. We pray these things, Lord, in your name and for the sake of the work that you are doing throughout your world. Amen.